moms, welcome to this episode of the Dorinda Wilson Podcast. I'm Dorinda Wilson, wife to one, mom to eight, nana to nine, and 26-year veteran homeschooling mom. I'm also the author of The Unhurried Homeschooler, a simple, mercifully short book on homeschooling, and The 4-Hour School Day, how you and your kids can thrive in the homeschool life. You can find those books on Amazon.com, at my website, DorindaWilson.com, and you can find The 4-Hour School Day at any of your favorite booksellers, in addition to the two places that I mentioned. Well, y'all know that I love Homeschooling Today magazine, and so I would just love to tell you a little bit more about it in case you haven't heard of this great resource. When it comes to homeschooling, isn't it discouraging to see so much on social media that simply doesn't match your reality? Life is messy. Kids can be exhausting. School doesn't always go as planned. Sometimes we all need some real encouragement, some real, truly practical help. That's one of the reasons I write for Homeschooling Today magazine. The entire team at Homeschooling Today wants you to know that messy, exhausting, imperfect homeschooling is an incredibly beautiful thing because it's real life as we take an unhurried, bold approach to homeschooling our kids. An approach that says, I won't compare my homeschool to others. I'll teach the kids God has given me in the way that He leads me to do it. I want to encourage you to check out Homeschooling Today magazine. It is an amazing resource for the unhurried homeschooling mom. So today we're going to be talking about when your homeschool teen isn't getting up on time and getting ready for the day. I got a question from a mom that I thought, you know what, this would make a great podcast episode. And I decided to invite our 19-year-old, almost 20-year-old daughter here with me to give a little bit of her perspective now that she's been adulting for a good couple of years after graduating. Welcome, Johanna.
Thank you.
She's been on the podcast before. We talked about modesty. Mm-hmm. That was a great podcast. I feel like we got a lot of listens on that because it was one of those ones where mothers and daughters can listen together and then have a conversation about that topic because I think it's an important one. Mm-hmm. But today, like I said, we're going to be talking about teens not getting out of bed on time and getting ready for the day. So this is the question that this mom posed. She said, I am desperately looking for some help with teenage girls. They're homeschooled, 17 and 14, and I've had the hardest time waiting for them to be ready in the morning. It has caused many conflicts as we have three other little ones who are also schooled. Do you have any tips for the morning routine with teens? Okay, so the first thing that I would say is that ultimately what we want is best, is what's best for our kids. And so what is actually in their best interest? Most of all, even more importantly than that, what has God called us to? So first and foremost, He has called us as parents to teach them the truth about God's word. And His word clearly states that children are to come under their parents' authority. And there are a lot of really good reasons for that. This is a really good plan. Johanna's nodding her head. Yes, it is a good plan. It is in the best interest of both the child and the parent. Because when faithfully followed in a godly Christian home, it leads to more peace. But more importantly, it reflects the gospel in that Jesus humbled Himself and willingly submitted to God's authority. And we're to follow His example. This also teaches our kids to ultimately submit to God's authority. So that's really the bigger picture here. The other thing, though, we have to keep in mind is that we want to prepare our kids for real life, right?
Yes.
Johanna, what does your real life look like right now?
Well, I work 40 hours a week. I'm a barista. Well, I'm a assistant manager of a coffee shop. And so with that comes a decent amount of responsibility to show up a little bit earlier, to stay a little bit later if need be. And so I work my schedule around my work schedule. Mm-hmm. I have to get up at 5 a.m. in the morning. Sometimes I work 10 and a half hour days. And that takes discipline that I was taught when I was growing up because I was taught how to keep a schedule from a very young age. Right. And that's something I haven't struggled with personally, is not keeping a schedule, because that's just naturally how I am, very structured. But I think it is extremely important for everyone to learn
right,
how to do that.
Right, right, right. Because whether it comes easily for you or doesn't come easily for you, it's it's a discipline.
Yes.
Every day. Because there's mornings you don't want to get up. Mm-hmm. There's unexpected late nights the night before, and you just have to suck it up, buttercup, get up, take a nap later. This is the stuff of life. And what we don't want to do is give our kids, especially our teenagers, the impression that is optional, because as they head into adulthood, they're going to have responsibilities, and we want them to own their lives. We want them to own their responsibilities, and it starts at home, in just real life, every day, real life. The other thing that this mom mentioned is having three other children who are watching. Now, one thing that I have seen is that being diligent with your older kids pays off with the younger ones, because they're watching. They're watching to see how consistent is mom and dad, our mom and dad. Are they respectable? Are they worthy of respecting what they say? So they're watching to see, are we going to hold that line? And I had our younger kids question and push back pretty much far less than the older ones, I would say.
Yeah.
And so I think that's important, to make that investment. And so we started early on, like Johanna mentioned, with a consistent routine at a very young age. And so moms who are listening, who maybe your kids aren't teenagers yet, this is just a little heads up for you to just get that consistency down. The longer you have it down, before they become teenagers, I think the easier it is, even if you get off track, to get them back on track, because that is the norm in your household. So consistency is absolutely key. In fact, I asked Johanna, okay, so I kind of posed this question to her that this mom had given me. This mom has, you know, two daughters, 17 and 14. They don't want to get up on time. They're not getting ready on time, and they're homeschooled. What do you think I would have done in that situation? And she was like, well, first of all, you really didn't have it because you started out consistently. Okay, I said, yeah, that's probably true. But if I hadn't, or if we got off track, what do you think that I would do? And it was so funny because I asked a couple of our kids this, and the looks on their faces just said everything. It was like this fear/respect. Like, I would not want to be in that scenario, mom, because I know that you would do something and it would hurt in terms of consequences and that kind of thing. Privileges taken away or whatever. And we're going to talk about that in a minute. Would not want to experience that kind of misery. So, and that's really, honestly, that is our role as parents, is to instill that kind of respect for us in our children. And if we're not consistent with that, and we're just sort of like letting the boundaries float wherever, that is not going to happen. So obviously it happens periodically. And so that's where you've got to say, what is the rule and what's the exception? So the rule is hopefully consistency. That's what we're shooting for. And again, it's about progress, not perfection, because we're all like progressively learning and being sanctified and all of that. But we really, this consistency, I can't emphasize the importance of it enough. So if your teens have gotten into this habit for whatever reason, it's really on us as parents to reestablish the boundaries. It's not up to our kids to do that. I mean, it would be nice if they did, but it doesn't always happen, right? If that's not happening, words aren't working, warnings aren't working, you need follow through. Johanna, what would have spoken to you, just to say hypothetically that you were in that situation and you just kind of like were being lazy in the morning and not really getting up on time, and I had said, hey, you need to get up on time, you need to whatever, and you just weren't listening, what would get your attention?
Probably privileges being taken away, or jobs, you know, getting extra jobs. Okay, you have to go weed the garden or something like that. I remember you using that a lot as discipline.
Right.
Which, you know, I hated. So obviously it worked really well.
Yeah, that's good. I think you hit on something right there. it's kind of like finding that painful spot. I call it, what is their currency? Mm-hmm. You know, because, you know, some kids don't care about certain consequences, like, oh, you're going to take that away from me. Not a big deal. Totally worth it. You know?
Yeah.
So you have to know your child and know your teenager and figure out what is their currency. You mentioned privileges. Mm-hmm. That's usually a big one when they're teens, because usually they have more privileges. Mm-hmm. With, I always told our kids, with age comes responsibility.
Yeah.
Also privileges, but also responsibility. Mm-hmm. So there's that balance. They don't get to have the privileges without the responsibility. And so I remember repeating that so many times, especially with our older kids. And so we're thinking about the privileges that you can take away. Now, for our family, we had a simple routine planned for our kids so that every afternoon they had independent time. I shared kind of our family's simple routine in a recent podcast. If you didn't hear that, I encourage you to go and listen to it. But it was one of those things where our kids had, even into high school, they had a block of time every afternoon that was an independent time that they'd had their whole lives. Mm-hmm. So how did you feel about that independent time?
I think it was good because not every minute of our day was structured, because if you overstructure, that kid gets so used to that and then doesn't know how to make their own decisions.
Right.
Because you're given this block of time and it's like, okay, this is like gold. Like, what are we going to do with it?
Because it's not all day.
It teaches you time management. You're like, okay, I have, you know, 2 hours. What am I going to do? And obviously, depending on age and what your interests are, that's going to vary, like whether it was playing in the woods when I was little or, you know, that kind of thing. But time management, what are you going to do with that block of time that you're given?
So what happened? How would you feel if that were taken away from you?
The time?
The independent time. Like if you weren't following the rules, you weren't getting up on time, and I said, oh, well, you're losing that time today, and instead you're going to work. Mm. You're going to do chores. How would you feel about that?
Yeah, that would be, I think that would be a good discipline. I mean, I would not enjoy that.
Would it be
that.
Effective?
It would be very effective, yes.
So I think what you said really hit on something too. That is that idea of time management. So we're preparing our kids for real life, and time management is a huge part of that. So it's like, this is an opportunity for this mom, and for you moms, if you're in this position, to offer that lesson in time management. In fact, several weeks ago, I had someone on the podcast from Apprenticeship University, and she was sharing with the audience, with all of you, what I asked her, what was probably the most important thing that we could teach our kids when it comes to moving into adulthood and into our jobs and whatever else it is that we're going to do? And she said, absolutely time management. That is what she was seeing as the biggest obstacle for the students coming in. Not necessarily for all of her students, because a lot of them were homeschoolers and they know how to manage their time, because that is just something that sort of naturally happens for the most part when you're homeschooling. So don't lose sight of that really important priority, especially in those teen years. And we're doing it in the early years as well, when we're being consistent about the daily routine and all of that. So
your kids will thank you later.
Yes, there
that
you
is
go.
For sure.
I think that's an important thing to get across. Yeah. And that's actually why I wanted you on here, is because I wanted you to tell the parents, you know, what if it's hard? What if their child or teenager doesn't like this, and the parent feels like, I hate that they don't like this. I hate that they're mad at me for this. Mm-hmm. Speak to that.
Well, I think that's a really hard position to be in as a parent. I mean, I can imagine myself in that position. Obviously, I'm not a parent, but I know that there were things that you were just so incredibly consistent on with us, and now I appreciate those things. Mm-hmm. Honestly, like the time management, which I did not think that was going to be such a huge part in my life. But as soon as I became an adult and school wasn't taking up, you know, 4 hours of my day, I had to figure out, what am I going to do? And then also when you start full time, you're working so much and you need to, okay, how do you balance friends and family and relationships and that kind of thing? And so it poured over just
and,
naturally.
And there was a bit of a learning curve for you because it was a different life. You were transitioning into a different life and you were fully responsible for your time.
Managing different things in your time, like you know, school switch to work and that kind of thing, and it's going to look a little bit differently, but
it's
easier because of that,
and so it's I love watching the way that you manage your time. You're very organized and very balanced, and I know you've run into times where it hasn't been balanced and it's cost you, you know, mentally, emotionally, even physically and spiritually. Again, it's a learning curve, but we want to give our kids a great foundation. And so that time management, that response, being responsible with our time, we're called to be good stewards of our time. We are accountable for every minute of our day. That doesn't mean we have to work nonstop all the time and constantly be producing something. But because rest is also a way that we glorify God and it helps us work better, you know? Right. And that's not the total purpose for it, obviously, because rest glorifies God in and of itself. But again, it's that balance, it's that understanding of how this needs to look in this particular season of life. Because again, life is always changing. And all the things that you described there, just in a life where you don't have a husband and kids yet, mastering the skill in the season you are in is preparing you for the next season. When you do get married and have kids, and then, but the thing is, when you've had some experience with it, all of a sudden a new baby isn't going to throw you into tailspin because you know kind of what it looks like
to adapt
adapt and adjust and prayerfully decide how kind of what your rhythm needs to be each day. So again, such good preparation for real life. I asked our second daughter, you know, theoretically speaking, since this really didn't happen at our house, what do you think I would have done? She said, for every extra minute we would dawdle, you would have taken away, if we would have dawdled, okay, so for every extra minute we would have dawdled, you would have taken away that same chunk of time from something we liked to do. And typically it would be that independent time in the afternoon, or maybe a fun thing that is planned every week or happened to be planned that week. I think the point here is, and this is really, really tough, it is to remember that nothing is off limits. Sometimes we as parents, we think, oh, but you know, maybe something they're doing at church is off limits, or, and we have to, especially when it's like when our kids are really digging their heels in, we need to be willing to go there. If our kids know that nothing is off limits, the respect level goes up. And if we're consistent, if we threaten and we do not follow through, you've lost ground and you've lost your kids' respect. So you have to just bear all that in mind. And again, we're doing this all because it falls under biblical guidelines for the family. So I have to just take a minute here and just share a few suggestions that my husband made, because I ran this question by him as well. I love getting input from my family. Of course, we're taking a walk last night and he said, well, and I knew this, his answer was going to be interesting. You know, don't you?
Oh, I already know.
Yeah. So he's like, I would suggest sing to them. So my husband does not have, he's not really great at staying on key. So that suggestion, it isn't like someone beautifully singing to you and it's a wonderful thing. It's like before we had kids and I was working as a nanny, he got up a little bit before me every morning. We were first married. And I knew I needed to get up. My alarm clock had gone off and I was just like, okay, 5 more minutes. I could really technically take 5 more minutes. It wasn't that big of a deal, but he took advantage of the situation. Oh, and he would come into the bedroom, start jumping on the bed and singing, "How do you solve a problem like Maria?" And out of tune, it was miserable. I was like, fine, I will get up. I will get up. His other favorite song was "It's a Beautiful Day in the Neighborhood."
Oh, now, yes.
You have to understand, my husband is a morning person. I am not a morning person. So this was pure torture for me and pure delight for him. But that was his suggestion. His other suggestion was that squirt guns are very effective.
Getting creative.
It's getting very creative. So there you go. There are a couple more options for you.
Well, more abstract.
Yeah, exactly. So one of the things that I would also suggest potentially if it's really a problem and you kind of want to take yourself out of the loop, I would say set a timer or an alarm or something mm-hmm. like that to give you a little notification or them that their time is up.
Yeah, you did that with us when we were unloading the dishwasher when mm-hmm. we were really little, like when right. we started when we were like 3 or 4 mm-hmm. and when we would dawdle and stuff and you would be like, all right, setting the timer, and it was like pressure's on, and right. sometimes we would get a spanking if we didn't finish it.
Right.
But then there was also a reward. Sometimes we'd get like a handful of chocolate chips or something like that if we finished it like quickly and with a good attitude. So,
right. Yeah. And usually I didn't use that unless they were like, it was becoming a thing.
Very, very.
Yeah. And I always gave them, especially if they were that young, lots of time. I would say, I think it should take about this time. And then I would give them a little bit extra. That way, mm-hmm. when I did provide a consequence, I didn't feel guilty.
Yeah.
It's like, I have given you more than enough time. Mm-hmm. We're good. So a timer, you mentioned extra chores.
Mm-hmm.
That's always great. Like, weeding, organizing a cupboard. I always had a running list of extra chores for just such an occasion. And for the occasions when our boys were being rowdy and I told them to calm down, or if, just lots of different scenarios where I just threw extra work at him, and it really helped keep our house organized too. That was great.
Great. Win-win.
It was a win-win. And then we talked about privileges and that nothing is off limits. So my suggestion would be to start with a conversation. Because I think it's really important that we honor our relationship with our teens, or even if you're talking about a child who's younger than that, we want to keep those strings of fellowship tied as much as possible, but not at the cost of obeying God's word and being the parent in this situation. So we want to like maybe start out saying, we've had trouble with this, and you've had trouble getting up, and I really haven't been the parent in this situation. And I know you're getting older, and it's important for you to own this. And so I'm going to just ask you one more time to please be ready by such and such a time. And if that can't happen, then I will assist you in helping you learn this if it's a struggle for you. And just see what happens the next day. If it doesn't go well, then you can move on to talking about losing privileges, not even talking about it, just going ahead and moving forward with it. You've given them some grace. You've given them a heads up. And then you just need to move forward and be consistent with it. And again, we're doing this in a respectful way, but we're not doing it in a way where we're like acting intimidated by the teen years. I think a lot of parents are intimidated by the teen years. They think, oh my gosh, I don't want my child to rebel. I don't want them to, what are they going to do if I do this? And how's that going to affect our household? And
teenagers sense fear.
Yes, they do. They sense fear. Sort of like a predator, right? They know. And they also know when you and your husband aren't on the same page, just FYI. Mm-hmm. I remember my best friend was telling me when we both had teenagers at the time, and she was, her husband and her weren't on the same page about something, and they were having that conversation, and she's like, listen, we have got to be on the same page or they will eat us alive. I love her. She's so dramatic, but she's right. They sense fear. They sense when there's division. And so we need to be consistent on all fronts. But there's a lot of bluster, unnecessary bluster and deception in regards to teens having to be rebellious. There's a difference between their desire to begin to cut the apron strings, which is healthy. It's something we want them to do, and we want to allow them to do that within certain boundaries, within a framework. They need to be respectful. They need to honor the rules that we've made. And if they have a problem with one of the rules, I feel like that can be an open conversation. Like, I'm willing to sit down and talk about whether this rule is really appropriate anymore for this particular age. But at the end of the day, as the parent, I still get to make the decision. And so I just want to encourage you parents to be the parent. And yes, keep those ties of those strings of fellowship tied with your kids, but not at the cost of fulfilling your biblical role as a parent. So I'm going to go ahead and bow in a word of prayer. Lord, we thank you so much for this time. We thank you for our teenagers. God, I learned and continue to learn so much from our teens. And I am thankful for the way you have used it to sanctify me and to make me more like you. I have a long, long ways to go. But I thank you, Father, for the work that you have done through my teens. I thank you for the good relationship that I have with our adult kids. And I know that every parent out there wants that as well. And so I just ask that you would give them wisdom and clear direction, that they would be courageous and stand firmly in biblical principles. Give them wisdom to discern that balance of keeping fellowship with their kids, but not at the cost of obeying your word, Lord. And so we just pray a blessing over every family listening. Ask that you would fill their homes with your peace and your presence. In Jesus' name, amen.